It's good to be in his house today. It's good to gather, isn't it? It's good to be in his presence. And I have a word for you, and I'm excited to bring the word of God. I'll tell you, we're going to get deeper into this today. I'm not going to re-preach last week or the week before, but I'm just still blown away by this thought. It's been just going through my mind, and that's a funny pun because I'm going to be talking, I don't know if that's a pun, but we talked a lot about the mind last week. We talked about the mind again. But I'm just going over this amazing moment. We're on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus is walking now with these two followers. He just shows up to these two followers of him, and there's this moment where he says to them, "What are you discussing?" And they start talking about this Jesus. He starts saying, well, this is what he did, this is who he was, and started to explain this Jesus who lived, but then he died. And so he was alive, and we had hope in him, but then he died. But there's maybe a little bit of hope, because we just heard that his body is gone. And this is what's been going over, it's been just rolling over in my spirit, and rolling over in my mind, and I can't let it go. And I hear these words that Jesus said to them. He said, "You foolish people. You foolish people, you're so slow to believe." And these words, the reason that it's so powerful is not that Jesus he's not here to condemn us and he wasn't condemning them. But this is just incredible that they saw him. Everybody in the entire community saw him get put on the cross. They saw it with their own eyes. And everybody knew about it. They saw that he was wrapped. They pulled him down, they wrapped him up, and they put him in a grave. He was gone. And yet Jesus gives them zero grace. He gives us amazing grace, but he doesn't give them any room for their understanding in that moment. He doesn't let them think, well, he doesn't for one second say to them, "I know that you don't understand. I know it didn't make sense to you. I know you saw it, so it's easy that you got confused." No, Jesus doesn't even give them a moment to kind of hang out in that place of perception and understanding. But he immediately says, "You're foolish because you didn't believe what was written about me. You didn't believe the scriptures." And this has just been going over in my spirit because apparently to God, even what you see and what you don't see is not enough to either enhance or negate the word of God. This is what I've been just been going over. That the word of God is so powerful that Jesus considers it so powerful that even if you see the Son of Man put on a cross, your mind is not allowed to operate with your eyes are just receiving information. Your ears are just receiving information. That's all it is. It's telling you, "I see the nails, I see the cross, I see the grave." But all of those things are just your perception, and they're not reality. Who's heard the saying, "Perception is reality"? They weren't reality. What was the reality? Was Jesus really dead? The reality was, in the natural, yeah, I mean, I know you're all thinking with me. Yeah, he was dead. But what was the reality, though? The reality was only his body was dead. And only for a moment. Come on, praise God. And to the Lord, because listen, I don't know what we're going to see. I don't know if it's going to be real, or I don't know if it's going to be virtual reality. I don't know if, you know, governments are going to start projecting things into the skies. Listen, the Bible says one day even the elect would be deceived because, what could possibly take us who know the Lord and walk with the Lord and pull us away? Maybe, you know, you see false Christ. Jesus said many false Christs will come, right? Maybe you start seeing things in the sky. You know, maybe, you know, things start happening in the earth. And now your perception says, "Oh, well, this must be this. And this must be that." Is it possible? I mean, I'm already hearing it. You get on YouTube and you start listening to some of the things that people are saying based on what's been happening in our times, and people are already thinking some crazy things, but they seem logical when the government starts having counsel, come on, with Congress, right, in the Senate, and they start talking about weird, crazy things in our sky, right? Coming up with answers. It's not just used as some fringe thinking, you know, watching weird television, right? But something is happening in government. I'm not saying that what they're saying, they're not really saying it's anything. I'm just saying that maybe you're going to see things. Maybe things are going to happen in our time, in our space. And you're going to have to decide, I believe the word of God, and that's all I believe. Which means, I mean, I don't even know how to tell you what you might see. I'm just saying you're going to see some things. They were confused when Jesus came because they already had their mind set on what it was going to be like. You realize that? That this is just he said, nothing's ever good come from Nazareth. Come on. They already had their minds made up. So they actually blocked out Jesus before he ever did anything. And once you have your mind set, this is what's crazy. We call it a stronghold in Christianity, but the world has names for it. You know, neural pathways, the synapses, basically, you know, knee-jerk reactions. You know, these are just some of the words that we describe, basically, on something that's happening on a subliminal, you know, it's deeper than even what you think, but you think what you think. You already think what you think. You've already judged people by what they look like. You judge people by what they sound like, right? You judge, you drive by a house. You know, you probably can judge, most of you judge, you know, maybe the person that lives in that house based on what it looks like. Come on, we all do it. Maybe there are times, there's exceptions where we're wrong, but, right? But we're all making those perceptions all the time. And I'm just blown away that by Jesus that he says, you cannot look and you cannot think with the human part of you. There's a spiritual part of you that has to override your intellect. And that's going to come, things you see, things you hear. Because who is hearing today, come on, if you've been on the earth for more than 25 years, who is hearing a new reality being proposed to us that we're supposed to accept as normal? Is anybody hearing some things out there that they're telling you you're crazy and they're normal, you're crazy? But just 25 years ago, right, it was the opposite. And this has actually happened all throughout history. It just gets rewritten and rewritten. I started saying these things last week. And here's what we need to come to as believers. We need a revelation. We need a revelation of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't make sense. It does not make sense in the natural. Sometimes I tell you we should just stop and think. When we try to make sense of everything, but sometimes we should just stop and think about how crazy this is, this thing we believe, right? I've said it many times, I'm just going to say it very quickly again, right? God created the world, God who is apparently outside of time and space. Okay, try to wrap your mind around that. Good luck. Then this God creates a world, but we've got a problem. We sinned. But God somehow allowed us to sin. Your mind's already going, it starts short fusing. Why would God is good allow, you know, and know, he's God, he knows, right? But don't worry, he's got a Jesus. He's got his son already in the works before the world even began. And the plan is that a virgin, you know, somewhere between probably 13 and 18 years old, a young girl, God's going to place Jesus in her womb. And when he dies on the cross, God, outside of time and space, is going to look through him, no matter if it was before or after. He's going to look through his blood on the cross, and he's going to see you 2,000 years in the future and say, your sins are forgiven if you repent and believe in him. Now, it's normal for us. But take that and just put it into the norm of society in 2024. And that's why they think you're crazy. But you're not crazy. The word is truth. Everything else is crazy. Whatever doesn't go along with the word, you have to decide today, is false, period. And if you don't make that decision, what will happen is something called mixture. And this is something that it happened in the Bible over and over and over again. God warned them, don't mix with the society that you're in. He didn't say don't love them. He didn't say don't care for the stranger. He didn't say don't be there for them. And Jesus, they kind of, you know, they didn't understand Jesus either because they had become so religious about it that they thought, oh, we can't even help, right? We can't even help the Samaritan because they're not a Jew. And Jesus came and he blurred their lines and he's like, that's not what I meant when I said don't mix with them and don't be with them. He's like, I don't want you to become like them, but it doesn't mean I don't want you to love them. That's why Jesus messed with them. They become so religious in their little cult group, right? That's what they became. I'm not saying Jews are cults. I'm just saying they had become a cult that the Lord came to break up. You need to come back to reality. You turn this into something that it's not. And there's a whole bunch of things that Jesus was breaking up. But so the point is that we're in this world, but we're not of it. And as soon as you allow it to become part of you, as soon as you let their false reality become part of the truth, you create a mixture. And what's happening is in that mixture, now you read the Bible, the same exact Bible, but you read it through a mixed lens. And what happens is sometimes verses don't make sense or they don't work for what we believe in this church. So then Bibles, you know, churches just stop preaching those verses. Come on, who's seen it? Some have even edited them out. It's easier to not even confuse the people, just take them right out of the Bible. Anybody getting anything out of this so far? I came right into this thing preaching. I'm preaching hard already. It says in Luke 24, verse 41, they stood there in disbelief, and then he said, when I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets, and this is in verse 44, it says, everything written about me, it was in Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms, it's all been fulfilled. And then it says in verse 45, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. This is what I want to get into today. You need to have, now, I titled last week, before I say what I'm going to say, I titled last week, I tried to make it like a viral title, something that maybe somebody who's not a believer might listen to. And I said, Mariah, we're going to be edgy with this. We're going to title it, Open Your Minds. Because, you know, now it's like, now a lot of Christians are like, that's getting a little new age. You know, you need an open mind. You know, we need the third eye. And you know, there's all kinds of weird mixtures, isn't there? But you have to realize that all these new age, all these other religions stole. Sometimes we need to take back some things that God said from the beginning, and they stole it and mixed it. And then we're like afraid to touch these things because we're like, oh, that's new age, that's other religions. But I want you to see that having an open mind is not new age. That's not saying let the world in. That's saying you better be open to whatever Jesus says and whatever he wants to do. And what happens is we close our minds sometimes in an effort to be Christian because we're like, this is what I believe and I know what I believe. And so because you think you know, you read the same exact verses. Because listen, Jesus was there in the flesh. He's standing in front of these Sadducees and Pharisees. And he said to them, you search the scriptures looking for me. I'm standing right in front of you. Isn't that amazing? So if that's possible, don't you think it's possible that we can also read scriptures and think we understand concepts in the Bible with a closed mind? Because we've already decided this is what I believe. So now you read a verse and what happens? Now I got to fit everything else in my theology around that. Who has seen it? Who's done it? We need a revelation because it's a lack of understanding. Everybody say he opened their minds to understand, right? So they already knew. Everybody say they knew the scriptures. but they didn't know the scriptures. It's the same thing. Everybody's a Christian today. We just talked about this before church began. Every band is a Christian. You know, they got beers on the stage. They don't talk or say anything to show God whatsoever, except that they say, I just want to thank God, and say they're Christians, and so that makes them, you know, gives them a license to be Christian. A lot of people that know a lot about Jesus, they don't know Jesus. And it's the same, you can know the scriptures and not know the Jesus of the scriptures. And I know in this church that we are a seeking church. We want to know God. We want to seek after him. That's the heart we need. And we need to just say, Lord, I don't know what you want to do in my life. I don't want what you want to do with me. You know, we read verses, we just gloss over because we don't understand them. It says in James, don't even plan what you're going to do next year. And we were like, that's just not realistic. You don't even know what today, you know, Jesus says today, don't even worry about tomorrow because today is enough to worry about itself. Do we ever just stop and think, are we planning our lives or is Jesus planning our lives? Are we saying, Lord, anoint the life that I want? You know, I've done all the work to get here. Now, Lord, help me and bless me. Or are we saying, Lord, what do you want? Where do you want to take me? What do you want to do in my life? And then when he says nothing and does nothing, we rush and think, well, I've got to fill in the gap and fill in the blank. That's like sitting out at sail, ready? And there's no wind coming yet. You know, how foolish it would be to just start blowing into the sails and try to get the boat moving. If it's not moving, it's not moving. Let the Lord lead you. Sometimes it's okay to be still. That's for somebody in here. That was a bonus. It's not in my notes. But if the Lord's not showing you or saying anything to you now, you just go back to what you knew last. You go right back to the Word and you just say, Lord, these are the things I do know and I'm not sure yet, so I'm going to wait on you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to get deeper into this because it's a lack of understanding that Jesus had to come and deal with. It wasn't a lack of reading. Wasn't a lack of mental knowledge. It was a lack of understanding. How many know the Bible? I was born and raised in it. And by the time that I hit 15 years old, you couldn't ask me a question about the Bible I didn't know the answer to. I'm not saying I know, like, come on, I'm not Dan. I'm not going to tell you every single reference to every single verse and every character that's ever lived. But every general story in the Bible, I knew about it. And yet somehow it was still like up here. I had a knowledge of it. Whether I was saved or not, that's, you know, to be debated one day in heaven. We can talk to the Lord about that. I don't know where I was. Maybe I was in just a backslidden state, but I had it here. And then something miraculous happened. The Lord showed up in my life. And just one day, my eyes, everybody, right? Come on, your eyes. Who's had this spark where the Lord just want to seek God more? You don't even know why you want to seek him more. You just know, you know what? I want to seek him more. I want us to see today, you need a revelation, but and I started to say this last week, he's the one that prompts you. He's the one that calls you, and you have to respond. And when you respond, what he does is bring understanding. He doesn't give you knowledge. You can gain knowledge. I had the knowledge, and I needed to respond to his prompting, which is really the Holy Spirit taking over your life. We'll get into that, but that's really what I was letting him do. I'm not saying that it was never anything good that ever happened in my life before 15. I'm just saying something happened, and I said, I hand my life over in a different way than I have before, and all of a sudden now moved from knowledge to understanding. And now I read the same scriptures, but I was now not just reading them, I was understanding them. And I don't want you to understand, you know, Israel and Galilee and how many miles things are apart. That's just knowledge. That's fine if you want to do that. I'm not saying that's bad, but that's not knowing the scriptures now. Knowing it is, I know what Jesus means. I get it now. When he says to love my neighbor as I love myself, I get it. It's not just a statement. That's, wow, that's unbelievable. Oh my gosh, like me loving somebody like I love me. I don't do that. That's what happens. Like something supernatural begins to happen. But it happened through his word. So the Lord brings you. Am I okay so far? Because it's like a very simple thing I'm trying to say here. Last week into this week. And yet it's so much. The Lord is trying to bring you into a place where you understand, but he uses the same exact method that can be used for knowledge, which is the word of God. You can read and know the word in your head and not know it in your spirit. And then he can take the same word and he can push it because you're willing, Lord, I want to really know you. And he pushes it into this unknown place. There's a place inside of you. It is the spirit inside of you. It is much deeper than the mind. It is something other than the mind. The mind can only understand in knowledge, but your spirit understands, and we're going to get into that in a moment, another level. So let's go ahead and look at this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's read here first. It says in verse 3, if the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, everybody say, Satan is the god of this world. Sometimes we forget that. You know, there was a line in a movie, but I think it's valid. You know, it said the greatest trick that Satan ever played was convincing the world he didn't exist. You need to realize that if you're in this world, and the world's telling you things and teaching you things, and it is not from the word of God, listen, do not be deceived. There is no such thing as not evil, but not good. There is no in between. If it is not based on the word of God, it is evil, and it is instructed and orchestrated by Satan himself. There is no gray in God. There is no in between. Jesus sat with the prostitutes. He sat with the tax collectors and had meals with them. And it didn't affect Jesus. Jesus wasn't changed. He was there to influence and to change and love them. And the religious couldn't understand, how can you be with them? Meanwhile, he's like, you don't even love your parents. You're confused, telling them disciples need to wash their hands. You don't even love your parents. Jesus went and he dealt with heart issues instead of just natural flesh issues. And so we need to see something, that there is no gray, there is black and white. And we can't be afraid to be in the world or to be around people of the world. But you need to know something now. And this is, listen, you're never going to win anybody by pointing at your finger at them and saying you're led by Satan. Okay, you're not going to win them. Somebody in the world, if you tell them Satan's your God, you're probably not going to win them. Maybe that's what the Lord's instructed that day for that person, but I wouldn't advise it unless it's the Holy Spirit. But you need to understand something. While you're loving them and you're there with them, they're people in the world, people that just don't know. Their eyes are just blind, as we're going to see right now. You still need to be there and love them, but you need to be aware that Satan is their God. And that sounds harsh. It shouldn't sound harsh, though. It's the Bible. It's only harsh because, listen, it only sounds harsh for me to say your friends and family that don't know Jesus are worshiping Satan without knowing it. That only sounds harsh because you have a perception that has been infiltrated and directed, and it has been influenced by living in this earth. What I started with in this sermon, you have an idea that sounds harsh. It's only because the world has taught you that's harsh, not because the Bible has. The Bible says Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. You believe or you don't. If you believe, Jesus said it clearly. He said to the people that were searching the scriptures, that knew the scriptures better than anybody on the earth, you know what Jesus said to them? Jesus said, your father is the devil. They said, God's our father. We follow Moses. He says, no, you don't. Satan is your father. And that was to the people that knew the scriptures better than anybody. How is that possible that Satan could be their father when they knew the scriptures? Because somehow there is a place inside you that can be knowledge and not spirit. And literally that same exact information that's on the pages of what we call the, you know, the bound in leather Bible, somehow that same exact information can be just that, just words and information and knowledge and not understanding. And so he said they are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. I want you to, let's go deeper here. Come on, who's ready to go a little bit deeper? Who's excited by this message? Anybody getting anything out of this? I want you to look with me. We're going to go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to look right from verse 1. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, when I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use, I love the Amplified puts the word rhetoric in here. Who knows the word rhetoric? You know, it gets thrown around in politics a lot, rhetoric. Do you, anybody know what the word is? It actually used to be a good word. It was somebody who was good at speaking. It was somebody who could use words well. But actually, rhetoric has become a bad word. Does anybody know that? Rhetoric means you're filling space. I hear you, you're saying words, but you're not saying anything. You ever heard anybody do this? They say a lot of words, but then when you actually try to decipher what it actually was, it was nothing. It just boils down to nothing. A lot of politicians use this because they get answered a question. They get asked a question, they've got to fill the 30 seconds to answer it. Like, how do I do this? So like, when I was a little girl, you know, I was, you know, this is what I used to do. That's not what we asked you. You're just talking, but you're not answering anything. And so Paul's like, I didn't just come to just try to fill time and space with words. I didn't try to just give you knowledge and give you, you know, human impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. That doesn't do anything. Just hearing the word, even hearing the word of God, the Bible itself, does nothing to just hear it in your intellect. If you don't believe me, go to every university in the country and there is a religion department. They're not there to seek out God. They're there to understand in the human intellect religions. And Jesus would be one of them. The Bible would be one of them. It's just a class like any other class. It's just information. Get on Discovery Channel, watch the History Channel. They're going to reference the Bible with all kinds of things, but that doesn't mean that they believe. Is anybody following him? Anybody tracking? But he said, there is a secret plan of God. Verse 2, I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. Now, this is how a person doesn't know the Bible and can get saved. We call these battlefield salvations, right? The man on the cross. He doesn't have the Bible. We haven't schooled him from Genesis to Revelation. Does anybody want to argue with Jesus when Jesus said, today we'll be in paradise together? How could that man be saved, but he didn't know? He didn't know anything about God. How did Jesus say to him so confidently, today we'll be in paradise together? Because there's obviously, how could Jesus say to the religious who knew the scriptures better than anyone, how could he say to them, your father's the devil, and he says to this criminal who was obviously there because he murdered somebody. He got the death penalty for death. And here he is, and Jesus says to him, You guys, your father's the devil, but you today will be in paradise together. That means there's something deeper than your intellect, your wisdom, your natural understanding. And there's something, you know, we know it. We can figure it out. It's not too hard. We have another criminal on the other side. Come on, this is what the gospel says. He says, he starts making fun of Jesus. Save yourself. Save us too while you're at it. And this criminal says, don't you understand? Don't you get it? This man is innocent. And I'm here because I put myself here. I deserve to be on this cross. He doesn't. And at that very moment, something deep inside, something in his spirit that understood who Jesus was and understood who he was, that right there was salvation. Meanwhile, those that were searching the scriptures somehow the same Jesus who's standing right in front of them, they're blocking him out. He can't be. You can't be the one we've been waiting for. You can't be the Messiah. And the Bible says, verse 3, I came to you in weakness, fear, timid, trembling. He came, Paul decided, I'm going to put everything that I know, all the information aside, and I'm just going to tell you this. He said something very plain. Jesus loves you. Jesus died on the cross for you. And that core, this principle, this something that bypasses intellect and understanding is enough. He says, rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. And I did this so you would not trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God. And this is how we can see this tag team that's happening, where you're just drawn to a church one day. One day you were drawn to turn the TV on, and you turned to that one channel, had a preacher on. Come on, everybody's got one of these stories, right? One day, you don't know why you were doing it. You just drove your car somewhere, right? You saw a sign out front, and you're like, I'm going to go there. And something happened, and so we could see that it's the Lord drawing you, and yet you took action, and then immediately after that, after he draws you, you take action, then it's the Holy Spirit who begins to go to work inside you. It is something spiritual. We must see this, that it's a spiritual thing, and so that means that I must, if it's the Spirit, and if it's not intellect, then I have to say, Lord, you teach the word to me. Then you show me the word. You preach the word to me. I can't just read this and think I'm going to. Who can say, I used to read it, and it didn't make sense? You think that you're better at reading now? You think you learned King James language, so now you can get the Bible? You think did you get schooled, and now you understand? Come on, how could you understand it more? Obviously, something is deeper than your mind. Something is happening in a spiritual level. How can you understand what you couldn't understand before, but it's the same exact words? I want us to see that this mind really has to take a back seat. And if we decide in our mind, now I'm going to bring this, I'm going to make this real now for these next minutes, so it can apply to anybody. This applies, I've been talking about just the concept of who Jesus is in salvation a lot today, but now just apply it to every single principle in the Bible. When we decide beforehand that we think we know what the Bible says before we've read it, guess what you're going to read? I know this is, you're like, no way that my mind's that powerful. Your mind is so powerful that they thought Jesus was the son of the devil, so they put him on a cross. And God allowed it for his purpose, because through the cross, praise God, we're here today. So God allowed it. But don't think that your mind is not powerful enough to not see Jesus standing in the flesh, performing miracles, and even Jesus is proving himself, doing miracles. Show us another one, like it's a magic trick. The mind is that powerful that it can block out even Jesus, the Son of God. We need a mind renewal. Amen. We need our mind to be renewed. We need, and I don't have time to get into that. It's in Romans 12. I'll just tell you right now, maybe we'll get into it next week, because I just want to stay here in Corinthians. I don't want to bounce too far all over the place. But you need your mind to be renewed, and it's very clear. If we get into it next week or not, I'll tell you right now, it's through the Word of God. That's how it happens. It's the same exact word that you read before. Jesus is going to open your eyes. How does he do that? Well, he tells us clearly, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. I'm a good God. And he says, I give good gifts. Who knows the scriptures? I give good gifts to my children. And so I'm going to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's going to come and he's going to remind you of what I said. Do you think they remembered stories, or do you think they remembered Jesus? Now, it might sound like the same thing, and it's very different, isn't it? Because when they remembered, all 11 of those disciples, the 12th being Paul coming in, all 12 of them were martyred for Jesus. I don't think they just remembered words. I think they remembered in such a way that they literally laid down their lives. They knew this Jesus. And the Holy Spirit reminded them of their knowing. That's his job. He's there to remind you. And if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to teach us the word, all you'll do is read the word in your head. And I know it. You're like, this is crazy. This sermon almost seems heretical. But are you telling me I could read the Bible my whole life and go to hell? And the answer is yes. Because I don't want to re-preach what I just preached for the last 40 minutes, but Jesus stood there, the Son of God, the whole scripture's pointing to him, and they rejected him, even though they knew those verses better than anybody. It's amazing, isn't it? And what Jesus, why this is so powerful, why Jesus deals with that, that's what he deals with his disciples. You need to believe because you believe. That's why he came back. This was so important for him to tell them, you're going to have to decide that you believe no matter what you see, no matter what you don't see. You're going to have to just say, I believe you. I'm just open for you to do whatever you want to do. Anything you want, you be God. I'm not God. And as soon as we think we've got to figure it out, based on the scriptures, and we could tear this thing apart for hours and hours and hours. But once you decide, I know, God can't penetrate that place. And you can apply that to any principle in the Bible. Anything that you come to a place where I don't get it, I don't understand, and so we just say, well, this must be this, and it must be that. And as soon as you do that, you form what's called a stronghold. Strongholds are not just sin. It's not just you addicted to something, but a stronghold can also be that I just don't believe God in these areas. Who's ever been there and the Lord broke you free from those areas? Praise God. It says, he says in verse 7, actually, just to remind us that it's God's secret plan. And in verse 7, he says that this mystery of God, his plan was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. Everybody say, his plan was hidden. It wasn't hidden from everybody. It was just hidden from those who closed their eyes. It was hidden from those who had hard hearts. We're going to see it right here. He says, the rulers of this world have not understood it. So you see that it's an understanding. It's not that they didn't understand in their mind. I was just talking with Dawn, going over, you know, this moment where I mentioned this on Resurrection Sunday, where the soldiers run back to the priest and they're like, Jesus just got resurrected. His stone rolled away. The angels. Do you know that they were actually, they were giving the word before it was written down? That's what Don and I were talking about. Before it was written, it was spoken. It was actually the word of God going forth. The word of God came forth, and their response was, don't tell anybody what you just told me, and we'll pay you to keep this a lie and to spread a lie that his body was stolen. Listen, the word of God just hit their ears. Bam! These guys saw the word with their own eyes. They saw the word of God come to life. And out of a hardness, greed, envy, the Bible tells us clearly that's what it was. This is why Jesus was crucified. Even Pilate said he knew that they were crucifying Jesus out of envy. And so what is envy? What is greed? Do you know that they are strongholds of preconceived ideas that just lock down your brain? Your brain says, I'd rather YOLO. I've mentioned this sometimes this year, right? Who knows the term YOLO, right? You only live once. And it's this concept that I'm just going to do whatever I want and have fun because we only have one life to live.
It's a demonic concept because you don't just have one life to live. You have eternity to live. And everything we do here matters for eternity. And Satan turned it around that, well, just do whatever you want here because nothing else matters. And so that gets into the world, gets into you. And now you hear the word of God. He's risen. And you're preconceived. Your envy is this blockade in your mind that says, I can't believe it. I can't. They literally can't believe it because they already didn't want to believe it. I want you to say it aloud. I can't because I don't want to. Right? We don't like the term I can't, right? Who doesn't like the term I can't? Can't means I don't want to, doesn't it? Does the military say I can't, right, Jimmy? No, I can't. It's I don't want to. There's no such thing as I can't. What do you mean you can't? We wouldn't ask you to do it if you can't. Jesus wouldn't ask us to do it if we can't. I can't. I just can't stop sinning. Yes, you can. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have said you can. Why would the scriptures literally say, word for word, in Romans, stop sinning? Come on. I can't. No, you don't want to. I want us to see that the idea of believing and understanding, a lack of understanding is already from a place of I don't believe. And this is why the man on the cross just so simply was saved, because he said, I believe. I believe. That belief is so powerful for salvation, but I think a lot of people miss it because they grasp salvation, but Jesus, in order to secure us on the earth, tells you, go back to the scriptures though, because the disciples certainly believed in him, but once their perception was changed, once their perception was kind of messed with, now what they thought they knew was messed with, and so it began to get twisted in, well, we hoped, we thought. And this is where we need to be so grounded, we need to come to the place where we say, I believe. And you're like, well, Jesus got put on the cross. I still believe. Come on, I still believe. There's some songs there. I'm hearing multiple songs in my mind. They're like, yeah, but Jesus, Peter says, they're going to say one day, oh, they've been saying he's going to come. They've been saying forever Jesus is coming back. You know, it literally says that one of the signs of the times that Jesus is in fact coming back is once people start saying, they've been saying that forever. Isn't that funny? 2,000 years ago, and now here we are today, hearing these words. We've been hearing, you know, it's time that we replace this archaic gospel, this Bible. It's out of date. Let's just recreate everything. Let's just recreate society. Let's just recreate what we think, who we are, what people are. Come on, listen, you think I'm crazy? Let this podcast be heard in 10 years, and it won't be so crazy. It's coming where you're going to be melded with machines. They're already doing it. There's a guy who's already got a chip in his brain. It's already done. Now, he's literally got the ChatGPT type of stuff in his head now. I'm not talking in the future, now. Why do we need the Holy Spirit when I could just know anything? Come on, don't you see this is a counterfeit Holy Spirit coming? I can know anything about anybody, anywhere, in time, in the future, instantly in my brain. That sounds a lot like what the Holy Spirit could do if we let him inside of us. And so let me wrap this up. But it says this. It says, if the rulers had understood it, they wouldn't have crucified our Lord. They knew that this Jesus was enough. He was a threat. Jesus knew he was a threat. But they didn't fully understand. So because of their lack of understanding, they crucified him. And it says, that's what the scriptures mean when it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. Wow. The only reason you know anything is because the Holy Spirit has given it to you. And the tool the Holy Spirit uses is the Bible. It's the same exact word that the skeptic uses, to try to prove you wrong. It's the same exact word that the religious uses to try to skate through life, just barely doing what they can and can't do. The Holy Spirit takes that word and just unlocks it. And this Jesus is on the cross, and they're like, yes, we won. We beat him. We defeated this tyrant, this revolutionary. And meanwhile, there's an understanding. And so, this is happening. I mean, it's real. It's right in front of your eyes, but there's something deeper happening. The Son of God is breaking the chains of Satan forever. This is reality. Perception is that he's on the cross and he's dying. But that's not real. What was real, reality, was that the Son of God, inside of a shell of a man, is actually breaking sin forever. He was taking the curse of sin and death and crucifying itself on the cross forever. That was reality. But it doesn't matter what your perception thinks. It doesn't matter what people say. Well, we see this, and we understand this, and we think this, and, well, they don't seem evil. They're good people. And you see all these things, right? You're getting bombarded with all these thoughts today, right, in society. And it's all a false reality based on trying to get into your perceptions, into your ears and your eyes, and to create this false reality. But the true reality is and always has been what God said in his word. He says, for his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. Try to wrap your mind around that. We don't have time today. You can go home in your own time, because I'm trying to close here. It says, but people who aren't spiritual can't. Here's a can't in the Bible. Here is a can't. If you're not spiritual, what is spiritual? What does that mean? It's as simple as this. I believe you, Jesus. I believe. At its simplicity, at its core, it's just I believe. And I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep believing, and I'm going to keep believing, and I'm going to keep believing. John chapter 6, right? The disciples, Jesus starts talking about his flesh and his blood. Starts talking about, you need to eat my flesh, you need to drink my blood. They're like, this is hard to understand. In John 6:66, because of their lack of understanding, they walk away from Jesus. He says, the people who aren't spiritual cannot receive it. It all sounds foolish. They can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. And those who are spiritual can evaluate all things. They themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? And who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. I told you I probably will get into this next week, but I always just let the Holy Spirit lead. I want to get into what this mind of Christ is. What is a renewed mind? What is that? But isn't that amazing? What the world can understand, you can, because we have the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? Just the Holy Spirit saying, okay, I'm reading the same words. They're reading at universities. I'm reading them. You teach me what you want to teach me, not what I think before I read it. Amen? I think I got that point across. We'll leave it there. Praise God. Lord, I thank you for this word. I pray that it would be like good seed, Lord. You push down inside of us into good ground, Lord. Let it grow. Let it sprout and bring life. Let this become a tree of life to us and to others, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you.